Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Rob Jollis is here. Rob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, coming up on 16 years pretty soon. President of Jollis & Associates. He's the author of so many books. I'm having a hard time seeing over the top of them here. Customer-centered selling is my favorite. That's the Bible on selling. Also mental agility, also customer-centered selling, also the way of the road warrior, you're starting to get the picture. Very prolific thought leader, especially in the area of selling and helping small business owners put their best foot forward in the marketplace. Rob Jollis, welcome back to the show.
Yay, hooray for me. And by the way, you forgot How to Change Minds, which is also my first audio book. So if you don't like reading me, you can listen to me.
There you go. I've got it right here. It's got a silly little cat on the front of it, so... So anyway, hey, Rob, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
And so, I was talking about how tough it is to be a small business owner in the previous segment, is why I've been bringing you on. I know you deal with a lot of folks out there, and we try so hard to get it right, but it's getting harder, isn't it?
It is. It's funny. I've sort of drifted into personal coaching about 2 years ago. And so I do. I sit down with a lot of business owners and salespeople who are struggling. And, for me, there's two ways to look at it. There's doing our best, and then there's, avoiding the temptation to confuse doing our best with being perfect. They're two different mm-hmm. things.
Right. And
yeah. You go ahead.
One of the biggest things that holds small business owners back is trying to be perfect, and we seek perfection when what we really should be seeking is imperfection. But you actually say that we should be in pursuit of imperfection. We should be seeking excellence, and you say we should be seeking imperfection.
I do. I know that kind of screws people up a little bit, but I don't think it's a crime to pursue perfection. I just think it's a mistake. I mean, if you really look at it, let's look at professional sports. There's only a couple sports that even allow for perfection. I suppose baseball would be one of them. But look what happens when somebody is on the verge of pitching a perfect game by the sixth inning. Nobody's getting near them. It isn't a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And most of the pitchers will tell you if they go out there seeking perfection, they don't have a prayer. They don't even want to know when they're on the verge of something perfect, because it can only detract from their performance. So then why would we want to pursue perfection? If you think about it, it can only distract us.
Well, and the thing is, where it really gets in our way is because we think when we do it, it is perfect, even though we mess up sometimes. That where it really, I think where trying to be perfect really hurts us is in our inability to delegate. What do you think?
Yes, it's in our inability to delegate. It's in our inability to really see the big picture, if you really want to get down to it. It's perfection is actually kind of ridiculous to pursue. I don't mind pursuing doing the very best I can, but let me give you a quick story, Jim. Years ago when I went out on my own as a professional speaker, not to sound arrogant, but I think I got better at it and better at it and better at it. Then I got so good at it that my evaluation started going down and down and down. And I ended up bringing another professional speaker into the room, and I said, I want you to watch me like a hawk and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm practically perfect. And he said at the end, he said, you are so perfect in a sense that you're distancing yourself from the audience. The audience doesn't want perfect. They want human. They want humble. They want someone they can relate to. And, Rob, you're not relatable right now. So you see, isn't that a weird irony, Jim? As I pursued perfection, I actually was decreasing my effectiveness in front of an audience.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always try to do is laugh at myself. And I'd almost always do something, you know, like on the show here, you know, I'll mess up, I'll miss say the time or I'll, you know, something, and I laugh at myself. And when you laugh at yourself, you not only miss, when you don't laugh at yourself, you not only miss the best laughs of your life, but it makes you, it puts distance between you and other people. When you laugh at yourself, it opens yourself up to other people, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, even look at most of our the big events that we planned in our lives, the wedding, the, you know, the different things that we strive to, you know, put in front. For us, for me, as a Jewish person, a bar mitzvah, something major that we're putting out there. And think about the real memories. It wasn't the perfect parts. It was the imperfect parts that we smile and we think, that, you know, how human that was. That's actually what people remember from the event. They remember watching that imperfect part and watching how you responded to it and really being able to warm up to you. It's kind of nutty. Jim, whenever I speak, I always get somebody who comes up and says, I just want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. And I, you know, I give it to them. I say, it's Jollis, but don't worry about it. And they go, no, I really want to get it. And in my head, I think, that's funny because I hope you mess it up. I hope we start with something imperfect because that's going to give me the ability and the time to begin to warm this audience up, warm them up. I don't want a perfect introduction. I want an imperfect introduction because already it gives me a head start.
Well, and imperfection around your employees is not a bad thing either, right? I mean, it's good for your employees to know and to know that you know that you're not perfect.
You know, in this article that I wrote about this topic, Lauren Conrad, who's a designer, said, and I wrote this down, imperfection is relatable. And that comes from a designer. It's really important that we keep that in our mind. And the funny thing is, if we kind of drill down and keep staying here and say, I don't have to be perfect, I just have to do my best, and use those imperfect moments to be relatable, we win. We win the audience. Mm-hmm. We win the client. The client actually, everybody looks good when they're on their game. What do most clients want to see? What do you want to see, Jim, when you interview somebody working for your company? The perfect response to the question in the interview or the imperfect moment, the time where something may be missing? I want to see you under pressure. I want to see how you move and how you act when things aren't perfect. And when I watch
Rob,
I get a good shot at you.
Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Right back with more imperfection after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.